Purge out the old leaven.
Well, we're all assembled here at this pre-memorial convention to be thinking about the coming memorial that we will be observing in a couple of weeks. And I thought we would start by reading the account in Mark, the 14th chapter, of our Lord's instructions to his disciples for preparing the Passover that they were to keep. And reading there from the 12th verse and down through the 16th, it says, "And the first day of unleavened bread, when they killed the Passover, his disciples said unto him, Where wilt thou that we go and prepare that thou mayest eat the Passover? And he sendeth forth two of his disciples and said unto them, Go you into the city, and there shall meet you a man bearing a pitcher of water. Follow him, and wheresoever he shall go in, say to the good man of the home, The master saith, Where is the guest chamber where I shall eat the Passover with my disciples? And he will show you a large upper room furnished and prepared. There make ready for us. And his disciples went forth and came into the city and did as he told them." So back there, our Lord gave these instructions to his disciples. And it's noteworthy, dear friends, to see that they asked him, "Where shall we eat the Passover?" And they knew the time had come. They knew the correct date. Because this is something that comes up time and again in our classes at this time of the year. Some brethren believe that, you know, the 14th of Nisan was strictly for the killing of the Passover lamb, and that they ate it on the 15th and so forth. Whereas the scriptures, I think, are quite plain in saying that they were to kill the Passover, as our Brother Jim Parkinson mentioned, and he explained very well about what it means between the evenings, and they were to eat it at that evening on the 14th. Nothing was to be left by morning. They were to burn whatever was over with fire. And they asked our Lord, you know, where should we be? Eat the Passover, because all the rest of the nation was going to observe the Passover on the next day, the day that would follow. Because there had been more, apparently, emphasis placed on the redemption of Israel when they left Egypt more than the time of eating the Passover lamb. So, we're to get ready for observing the memorial of the Passover. And how do we do this? Well, we do this by the manner in which the nation of Israel was instructed to also prepare for eating a Passover. And among those instructions, we read in the 12th chapter of Exodus, was this matter of seeking out and purging the leaven from their homes. So let's just turn to the 12th chapter of Exodus, and let's look at the 15th verse in particular, where it says, 7 days shall ye eat unleavened bread, even the first day ye shall put away leaven out of your houses. For whosoever eateth leavened bread from the first day until the seventh day, that soul shall be cut off from Israel. That was a serious penalty that the Lord imposed here upon eating leavened bread. It was to be strictly unleavened bread. This is the feast of unleavened bread. And as we continue reading in that particular chapter, we read more about how they're to purge out this leaven. In the 17th verse, it says, "And ye shall observe the feast of unleavened bread. For in the selfsame day have I brought your armies out of the land of Egypt. Therefore shall ye observe this day in your generations by an ordinance forever." And as he continues to tell them that they had to eat the unleavened bread, he says in the 19th verse, "7 days shall there be no leaven found in your houses. For whosoever eateth that which is leavened, even that soul shall be cut off from the congregation." And so they had to search their homes thoroughly to purge it from all of the old leaven that was to be found. And as you know, leaven was used to make the bread, the flour, mixed with water, to rise, as they say, to form the gaseous bubbles that make it expand and become leavened bread. But that was not what they're to eat. They were to eat the unleavened bread where there's nothing made to make it rise. It would be these flat, simple bread that we have at the observing of our Lord's memorial. Why was this so important? Well, it was to emphasize in particular that what was going to be represented in the eating of the Passover lamb was the purity, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus, who was pictured by the unleavened bread. As we read in Hebrews 7:26, "He was holy, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners." Because leaven is a picture of sin and corruption. And ever since Father Adam disobeyed God, he brought into his family leaven, so that all of his progeny are contaminated with leaven. No matter how hard we try, we cannot escape this. And therefore, as we read about the various rules that God gave to the nation of Israel for keeping their sacrifices and the rituals that he had given to them, we note that they were to offer these sacrifices with unleavened bread. We read, for example, in Leviticus, Exodus. Let's read Exodus 23:18 as an example of this rule. He says, "Thou shalt not offer the blood of any sacrifice with leavened bread, neither shall the fat of thy sacrifice remain until the morning." This is a very strict rule. And this is also repeated in Exodus, the 34th chapter and the 28th verse. The exception to this is given in the 7th chapter of Leviticus. It had to do with an offering where they offered the unleavened bread with it, but at the same time, they were to offer leavened bread as well. And this is Leviticus 7, 11 to 13. There the Lord tells them, "And this is the law of the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he shall offer unto the Lord. If he offer it for a thanksgiving, then he shall offer with the sacrifice of thanksgiving unleavened cakes mingled with oil and unleavened wafers anointed with oil, and cakes mingled with oil of fine flour fried. Besides the cakes, he shall offer for his offering leavened bread with the sacrifice of thanksgiving of his peace offering." And as we mentioned last night, also the exception that was made had to do with the wave offering. of the first fruits, of the sheaves. Not the first one that was offered at the very beginning of the period that leads to the Pentecost, but on the day of Pentecost, they were to offer leavened bread. And that this indicates that with the unleavened bread, as it is in this case here, which represents the purity, the righteousness of our Lord Jesus, there will be associated with him those that are of leavened bread, those that have the corruption of sin because they were of the family of Adam. This is the mind-boggling matter that I mentioned last night. It's so difficult for us to understand how God would invite these poor people of Adamic nature to come and be associated with his son, his pure, righteous son. But that is so. Nevertheless, the instructions that were given to the people of Israel was that they were to, at this time, when they were going to eat the Passover and observe the Passover, to purge out of their homes all leaven. Everything emblematic of sin and corruption. Maybe we can understand a little better what this all meant when we get some idea of how leaven was used in biblical times. The way it was used is that they didn't have the means of developing cultures as we do today when we make yeast, which is a form of leaven, with controlled conditions. But they, once they had that particular fungus that was used for making bread dough rise, the way they would multiply it is that they would insert it into a pure batch of dough. Flour mixed with water that had no leaven in it. They put that in there and then it would grow. This fungus would grow. And whenever they needed some leaven, they just took off a piece of that particular dough and they would insert it into a new fresh batch that they wanted to bake, because with rising temperature, this would increase the growth and the bread would rise and then they could bake it. You probably remember how the housewife has used this kind of yeast to make bread today, and they make the bread rise by mixing it well with the dough, and then they put it aside and wait for it to just expand and grow to the right size. Today we have chemical leavening agents. They are strictly chemical. They are a mixture of an acidic material with sodium bicarbonate, and these are mixed together. And when water is added, then carbon dioxide is released, and that's the way leavening is done today by baking powders, which are strictly chemical. But this is not that type. This is a fungus, a live thing that is growing, and it expands and grows, and it can just multiplies. And of course, that is an excellent illustration of what happens with the sinful nature. If we do not try to control it, it expands and grows, and it eventually dominates that personality. That's why we sang the hymn, "I want the principle within of jealous godly fear that warns me of sin and its encroachment upon my life." And that's what this means when we have to purge out the old leaven. And particularly, brethren, at this time of the year, as we prepare to partake of the emblems, this is so important. We have to search our hearts. we have to look for some contamination that we haven't been able to get rid of. And of course, the reason for keeping the memorial is to have a witness to everyone how much we're all dependent upon the merit of Christ's sacrifice to cover our imperfections. We cannot continue in the Christian way without seeking His forgiveness every day for our mistakes. And we're going to make them. We'll never be able to really purge out every single last piece of leaven, but we have to try. And that's the point that's being made here to the nation of Israel. They have to try. They have to try to get in there and get rid of every bit of leaven that was there. And that's the lesson to us, that we have to try to get rid of every last bit of leaven that will cause contamination of that wonderful image that we're trying to be conformed to, the image of our Lord and Master, to be like He is, who is perfect, harmless, undefiled, and separate from sinners. This is our goal. This is what we're trying to do. And the Lord will grade us according to our effort. I always remember the experience I had as a student. I had a math teacher who graded all the students not according to the correct answer they got on the problem, because that was the easy way. It's just to go through the paper, and wherever the answer was correct, he'd give them the credit that was due. And if it wasn't, they would be penalized accordingly. But what he looked at was the method that they used to get the answer. What method did they use? Did they use the correct method? Because if they had an answer that it was correct, but the method was all wrong, he got a zero for that. And so that reminds me of the fact that what the Lord looks at us is the effort that we put forth to purge out the leaven. The end results, you know, may not come out as well as we'd like. Somebody may try to control their temper because they've got a terrible time controlling that temper. And they may succeed up to a point and then lose the temper. But the Lord sees how much effort was being put forth to do that very thing. Another person may come right along, you know, and they'll have no problem along that line and seem to be doing very well, but they may have other things that are not right. And the Lord sees that. So we have to keep in mind that the Lord is looking at the effort that we're making to achieve that right answer. And that our right answer is to be conformed to the image of Christ. And so this is the task we have. This is how we prepare for keeping the memorial. There are some brethren who have thought that the use of leaven is a good thing. And in particular, they're looking at the parable that Jesus gave in Matthew, the 13th chapter, in the 33rd verse, where he mentions how a woman put leaven into 3 measures of meal. And then it says they were all leavened. And the thought has been expressed that since it says that the kingdom of heaven is likened unto a woman who put leaven into 3 measures of meal, that this must be a picture of the kingdom work, and that how the kingdom work will spread in the millennial age. But brethren, I don't think so. Pastor Russell's interpretation of that parable, I think, is correct. The woman here is the apostate woman. The woman, the false church, who puts leaven, corruption, into three measures of meal. And I like the suggestion that these three measures of meal are faith, hope, and love. And how was faith corrupted by the apostate church? Well, it was corrupted by saying that if you venerated the Pope, if you followed all of the things that he said you were supposed to do, that you had strong faith. But that's not the faith that the Lord is seeking. And how do they corrupt hope? They said everybody goes to heaven if they're good. That's a corruption, because we know that the only ones that will be given a spirit nature and go to heaven are those that the Lord is selecting as a people for his name. The church class and the great company class, who fail to meet the high standards required to be with Christ, but who are still faithful, and they will, as a result of giving up their earthly natures, be given a spirit nature. But all the real hope that's always been in the scriptures is that everyone will be here upon the earth in a perfect earth and paradise. But that was corrupted. And then how is love corrupted? Love is corrupted by making it narrow and loving only those that love you. And you know what our Lord says, that publicans and sinners do the same. But you have to love your enemies and those that do things that are bad to you. So having the proper understanding of faith, hope, and love, when it's not corrupted by the leaven, is so important to our walk in the Christian way. I think that leaven, whenever it is used in the Bible, always is a symbol of sin and corruption. You may recall how Jesus told his disciples to beware of the leaven of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And they thought he was talking about bread, because leaven was used to make bread. And then he plainly told them that no, they were to beware of the hypocrisy of the Pharisees and the Sadducees. And that is leaven. That really and truly is leaven. Back there, the time of the Passover, as we know and so very well described to us by our brother Jim Parkinson about the keeping of the Passover, how the firstborn, who the Lord was particularly protecting with the blood of the Passover lamb, whatever home had that blood sprinkled on the doorposts, the lintels of their abode, was passed over by the threatening angel. They were the only ones in jeopardy. And that is the way it is today. The only ones in jeopardy are those that have been called to be a part of the church of the firstborn, as described in Hebrews, the 12th chapter and the 23rd verse. We are of that class. And because of our being invited to learn of God and to be personally tutored by him, as we mentioned last night, that all thy children, the children of the grace covenant, shall be taught of God. And as Jesus says, as it is written, they shall all be taught of God who have been drawn to him. We're being personally tutored by our Heavenly Father. Could you ask for a better tutor? Of course not. So all the things in his holy word are so important to us. In our condition, because we're part of this church of the firstborn, is that described in Hebrews, the 10th chapter, which you'd like to read, starting with the 19th verse. And it says, "Having therefore, brethren, boldness to enter into the holiest by the blood of Jesus." And that's our privilege, dear friends. Because we know that we are able to enter into the holy. And our hope is that by being faithful, we'll be able to enter into the most holy. But first, as he says, we have this wonderful privilege of entering into the holy just by the blood of Jesus, by a new and living way, which he had consecrated for us through the veil, that is to say, his flesh. And having an high priest over the house of God, let us draw near with a true heart and full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled from an evil conscience. So as they sprinkled the blood upon the doorposts and lintels to show, you know, that this home, the firstborn, was to be protected and not be slain, we now have this spiritual application to our lives today, that our hearts are sprinkled with the blood of Jesus in this way from an evil conscience. And as it continues, he says, let us hold fast, and our bodies washed with pure water. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful, that promise. When we first entered into this narrow way, you know, the question always comes up, you know, am I worthy? And none of us are. But by trying as hard as we can to purge out the leaven, he is faithful, that promise, as the Apostle Paul has told us here, as he describes our entrance into the holy, where we partake of the showbread and we have the enlightenment of the candlestick and are able to offer incense on the altar. What a great privilege. And this is our privilege, and the Lord will be faithful in carrying out his part. We also read, as the Apostle Paul describes our new life in the 6th chapter of Romans concerning our consecration, our endeavors to purge out the old leaven and to do what is pleasing to the Heavenly Father. He says, what shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? Because just prior to this, he had said that as sin had reigned unto death, even so might grace reign through righteousness unto eternal life by Jesus Christ our Lord. So he says, what shall we say? That we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. How shall we that are dead to sin live any longer therein? And he's talking about being dead as a sin offering. Because he says, know ye not that so many of us as were baptized into Jesus Christ were baptized into his death to share in his sufferings, to share. This is where we have the understanding of how it is to share as being a part of the sin offering. Therefore we are buried with him by baptism unto death, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in newness of life. And what he's saying is that although we were sinful, and although we can't get rid of sin, but we are covered. Our sinful nature is covered by the merit of Christ, and his righteousness is imputed unto us. We can now start walking or trying to do what is right. For if we have been planted together in the likeness of his death, we shall be also in the likeness of his resurrection, knowing this, that our old man is crucified with him, that the body of sin might be destroyed, that henceforth we should not serve sin, for he that is dead is free from sin. And it's a beautiful picture to show that if we are indeed crucified with Christ, if we have laid down our lives in sacrifice with him, that we're freed from sin. Well, not really so. It's imputed to us. It's reckoned. True perfection is not something we can achieve now, but we strive in that direction. And that's the meaning of getting prepared to keep the feast, of purging out the old leaven. And that's what the Apostle Paul is telling us exactly to do in 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter, where we read these words and get the meaning of what it means to for the nation of Israel to purge out the old leaven. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians, the 5th chapter. And starting with the 5th verse, he's telling about the fact that the congregation in Corinth had permitted a fornicator to continue as a brother in Christ with them. They didn't rebuke him. They thought themselves to be so liberal. This is a danger sometimes, and some brethren think that they have a better attitude and a better understanding of the scriptures than others. And in this case here, they were tolerating somebody who was a fornicator and not telling him that he was wrong in doing what he was doing. And so he says, to deliver such an one unto Satan for the destruction of the flesh, that the spirit may be saved in the day of the Lord Jesus. Your glorying is not good. Know ye not that a little leaven leaveneth the whole lump? There we have that illustration of the leaven and how when it's inserted into a fresh batch of dough, a fresh batch of flour and water, it leavens the whole thing. And he's saying that a little bit of leaven is going to really corrupt the church, the whole, entire congregation. Purge out, therefore, the old leaven, that ye may be a new lump. Because you are no longer to be looked at as a leavened piece of dough, but you are to be looked at as the pure flour and water that makes unleavened bread, just as it is an illustration of our Lord Jesus. You're to be looked at in that way. You know, that's the reason why when the Apostle Paul gives us the what we call the secondary application of the emblems, that the primary, as we know, it represents our Lord Jesus, his perfect humanity, his perfect life. But then the Apostle Paul also gives us a secondary application where he says that when we participate with him, I like the way our pastor has described this. He says, like every individual grain of wheat is crushed to make the flour that's going to be used to make the bread, the unleavened bread. So we all are crushed, give up our lives, are willing to suffer with him in order to become a part of that same loaf. That is an illustration of the sharing that we have with our Lord. Not that we can be a part of the ransom, we cannot. But we share in his sufferings. And likewise, as each individual grape is crushed to make the fruit of the vine, that is the other symbol that's used at the time of the memorial, we too share with him in giving up of our lives. How wonderful that is. And then as the apostle continues, saying that that ye may be a new lump, so ye are unleavened, for even Christ our Passover is sacrificed for us. Therefore let us keep the feast, not with old leaven, neither with the leaven of malice and wickedness, but with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. He couldn't express it any better, could he? When we partake of the emblems, there should not be in our hearts any kind of feeling of malice or wickedness towards anyone. Get rid of that, he says. It doesn't belong to you. It's not a part of you. When you keep the feast, you're making a testimony that you need the merit of Christ to cover your imperfections. That's the testimony we give whenever we partake of the emblems. And how important that is for us to continue along in the narrow way. And keep it with the unleavened bread of sincerity and truth. No hypocrisy. None of the leaven of the scribes and the Pharisees. What we do, we mean with all our hearts, with all our souls, with our every being. May the Lord help us to do exactly what the Apostle Paul is telling us to do here as we partake of the emblems in a coming memorial. May the Lord bless each and every one of us.